WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
So here on The Morning Show, Christian has been watching some new movies, Smokey and the Bandit. So there are just three of them. And so I don't know anything about these movies. What is there to take away from these movies?
Oh, boy.
Pontiac Trans Ams are cool. That's a big one. Burt Reynolds is cool. The 70s were cool.
Buford T. Justice is a jerk, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, good to know. But...
He does have a cool accent, though.
Oh, he really does, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching the John Wick. I've never seen any John Wick movies.
Me neither, really? Actually.
And so I'm watching the first one tonight with some friends. Because I've heard the fourth one is, like, really good. So I'm like, if they're pretty consistently good, like, up to the fourth one, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. Might be time to check it out.
They have very cool action scenes.
Yes.
There's not much in terms of plot, but if you like action, there's tons of it.
Hey, I can appreciate some good action.
Yeah.
Some satisfaction. You might say, okay. All right. So the 90.7 The Capstone Morning Show. We've got a great show lined up for you. We got a bunch of guests. We got Dr. Woosley coming in for Piano Day in a minute here. We've got in the 9 o'clock hour some guests coming in. Bhavna and Chance from the Crimson. Bhavna and Chance from the Crimson White coming in to talk to us about the new print issue. Play a little yellow journalism. You know how we do it. And more great things along the way. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Gonna play you some music. Here's Radiohead with Fake Plastic Trees.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This is The Morning Show. And, you know, it's time for the part of The Morning Show where we give you a little important information. That's right. It's time for the 90.7, The Capstone.
Weather report.
Do not distort the weather report.
Weather report.
Richard, what's the weather looking like today?
Well, right now it is nice and chilly out. We got 46 degrees, but we're going to reach a high of 69 today. Let's see here. Low precipitation should be partly cloudy all day, and the wind is 6 miles an hour right now.
Whew! A little chilly.
Yeah, a little chilly, a little windy.
Dude.
All right. Yeah. So, and that's the
weather report. 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 Weather report.
All right. But you know, whether the weather is good or bad, we've always got something to make you glad. Christian, give us a little positive affirmation for the day.
Last week's affirmation involved how there is a small amount of time left in this school year. I know, it's so sad. So we have to make the most of it. This one is going to be another side effect of being almost done with the school year. Today and throughout the week, I will not be fatigued by how long the semester has gone on and have late semester fatigue, but I will finish out strong academically and in any other forms of work I have to do or any endeavors I've embarked upon this semester. So, yeah, no lack of fatigue. Folks,
hey, the fatigue is real, so stay strong out there, folks. We'll be right back in just a minute to talk to Dr. Woosley from the School of Music to celebrate Piano Day. Don't go away. Here's the Strokes with Eyes of the World.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
That was Eyes of the World right here on 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Noah here in the studio with Christian and Richard, my co-hosts. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
And we also have another guest in here, Dr. Woosley from the School of Music. Good morning.
Good morning.
So happy to have you here on the show this morning in honor of Piano Day. We'll get to that in a bit. But in this break, we wanted to learn a little bit more about you. Tell me a little bit more about what you do for the School of Music, how you what you do that's related to pianos all day.
Sure. So in the School of Music, my official title is way too long to fit into this segment because I am crazy. But I'm a senior instructor of piano. What that means, though, specifically for me is I teach a bunch of piano courses, class piano courses. My main goal is to actually communicate to all the non-piano majors how to play piano, because it is that kind of fundamental of an instrument to everything we do in music. So that's my main thing. On top of that, I supervise and teach within our kind of our music appreciation system here at UA. We call it Introduction to Listening. There's a few students who take that, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 every semester. Uh-huh. And then I head up a class called Life Wellness, which is basically a wellness class for musicians, because we're apparently too busy to take care of ourselves. So we need a little assistance there. So those are the main courses I teach. But on top of that, I do a lot of accompanying. I play for a lot of, we call them juries in the School of Music. They're like final exams if you're taking music lessons. I play solo recitals, accompany recitals, play piano for other people who have to give recitals, things like that. So miscellaneous music things that pop up. It's never, never a dull moment in the School of Music. That's for sure. So.
Exactly, exactly. So would you say would you say piano is your main instrument?
Yes.
Or your primary instrument?
That's all you want to hear me play publicly.
And what else do you, can you fiddle your way through?
Fiddle, maybe struggle my way through. I can play guitar, the basics.
Okay,
the basics.
Okay.
Little on the drums. A little, emphasize a little. I took clarinet and saxophone in undergrad, 2 months each, just as part of a class because I thought it'd be fun. I was very bad at it, but it was fun. I have a banjo at home.
Yes.
I can't really play it, but I have a banjo at home. those are the main things.
Okay. What do you think, since the piano is your primary instrument, what do you think that makes the piano special?
Oh, that's a great question. This could be a very long answer too. One of the cool things about the piano is it's very diverse in what it can do stylistically. So, you know, you can play your stereotypical classical stuff, which is fine. That's how I was kind of trained. You can play jazz. You can play musical theater. You can play pop, rock, rap. I mean, you know, you can hear everything from a Mozart piano work from 300-400 years ago to piano used in various samples in the latest, you know, rap song that comes out. So it really kind of covers a spectrum of music that's out there. So I like that. And it's an instrument that, as opposed to most instruments, it can play multiple notes at the same time, mm-hmm. which means we can actually have things like melody and harmony and kind of create the whole song just on that instrument, right? So it's a little more capable of completing the whole picture of music just by itself. You know, often we don't. We'd love to collaborate with other people, but it can be complete just by itself, which is pretty cool. So it's kind of unique, and it's really heavy.
I mean, that it is. Christian and Richard, any questions that are crossing your mind? Any music-related questions as we're thinking to ask Dr. Woosley here on the program this morning?
Oh, this is an interesting question, actually. So, has the piano, in your knowledge, always been the main accompanying instruments for things like choirs?
No. It has for many, many years, but choirs have been around far longer than the piano has. The piano didn't come into existence really until the late, like, 1700s or so. The choir you can trace back to about as far back as we can trace music back, you know, just as people singing together. So for a while, a lot of choirs early on just didn't have any accompaniment. They just sang, you know, just the voices all a cappella. But early music, you have organ like to accompany the choir a lot. Sometimes like string ensembles would accompany it a lot. So those would, small little orchestras, those would often be the key things, especially in like the 1600s, 1700s, while the choir was getting big, but the piano wasn't exactly in existence yet. So,
well, yeah. Never knew the organ came before the piano. I guess I always assumed, you know, the opposite, just because piano's little, pipe organ big.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Not that pianos are small, of course. A grand piano is still real big.
But we can't compete with like the 3-story tall organ in the concert hall in Moody. So,
yeah. Well, seeing as we are a radio show, do you have a favorite musical artist that you like to listen to on the radio?
It kind of depends what day it is. Maybe what week it is. Yeah, there is no possible way that I could ever say here's my top person. Most people assume that because I was like trained classically on piano that's all I do and that's all I know. But I try to stay as diverse in my styles of what I play and listen to. My go-to listening generally, like if I'm on a long road trip, is usually like rock of some kind. Mm-hmm. I'm a big like classic rock guy. I really like Dream Theater. I don't know if y'all know Dream Theater. They're kind of a progressive rock group. late 90s, early 2000s. It's basically a bunch of music majors who graduated with all these advanced music degrees and knowledge and said, let's make a rock band, but employ everything we ever learned as a musician, make it complex. Cool. And it's really good and it's really crazy. So it just boggles my mind every time I listen to it. And they have, I don't know how many albums, 20, 30, something insane at this point.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
So if you don't know Dream Theater, you should check out Dream Theater.
We'll have to do
it. Yeah, we will.
Okay, well, to piggyback off that, so maybe not a favorite artist, but do you have a favorite American composer? I know in like Intro to Music, y'all talk about him a lot. Personally, I'm a big Cole Porter guy.
Okay. American composer. Ooh. Am I limited to any particular genre?
No, it can be anything. It can be musical theater, orchestras, pop, anything. Just any composer.
Here, I was thinking I was going to get easy questions today, right?
No, we're throwing the hard ones at
you. Let's see. I mean, I'll start on the more mainstream side. I'm a big Bruno Mars fan. Bruno Mars, especially the stuff he did with Silk Sonic a couple years back. It's just good musicianship, and it just sounds cool and it's fun. So I've always been a big Bruno fan. Let me just piggyback around or jump around. Lin-Manuel Miranda, I always liked his style of doing things. I mean, maybe that's a little cliche in the musical theater world, but it's catchy and I like him as a musician. So, if we're going more classical, big, broad term used word, Leonard Bernstein is pretty on up there, which I mean, that's everything from solo piano to orchestral stuff to, of course, musical theater stuff. I'm actually working on a two piano concert that's going to involve a lot of hits from West Side Story right now of his, just because it's great music, you know. So that list could go on and on.
I know. Yeah. There's so many people.
So
many artists and people to be aware of. You were talking just a second before we head to a break. I want to touch on just real quick. You were talking about some of the work that you do. So I know you're teaching and everything, but you're also doing some work. What's a project you're working on that you're excited about?
So right now, let's see. What am I working on? I do have in the works a concert that I'm doing with a buddy of mine from a university a few states away. It's a two piano concert. We're playing a lot of basically duets, but it's for two different grand pianos. Classical stuff, mainstream stuff, everything from Mozart to Bernstein to Queen, actually. So that's a big project I've gotten in the works. A few recitals I'm accompanying. I have a big presentation coming up at a conference later all about wellness for musicians, where I'm going to try to convince a bunch of musicians that they need to take care of themselves better. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes as I give them coffee.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Just personally, I do a lot of improv and arranging and composing. So I always kind of have side little projects like that going on when I have the time. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm kind of looking for my next rock song to arrange for piano. That's my thing. I've done Africa by Toto. I've done Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, of course. So it's like I need another big like epic rock ballad that I can say, okay, let's take this, but let's write it as if it was designed for the piano, but with the same energy that those guys had in like the 80s and stuff. So if you have ideas, I'm all ears.
We'll have to think on this.
That's right.
Was Richard? No. Okay. All right. So we'll come right back in just a minute to celebrate Piano Day, do a little activity perhaps. We're going to take a quick music break, and we'll lead out with this new Miley Cyrus single, Flowers, that's got a lot of stuff from Bruno Mars. So,
that's right.
Which we were talking about just a moment ago. Here we go.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Leather Daddy by Microwave on 90.7 WVUA-FM, The Morning Show.
Woo!
We're joined here with Dr. Kevin Woosley from the School of Music to talk about National Piano Day.
Let's go.
Piano. It's exciting. Shout out to piano, a wonderful instrument. Now, Dr. Woosley, I hear you got a pretty good social media presence, and how do you use that as a musician and as like a music teacher and professor?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I have joined, you know, the ranks of the social media, whatever. Just to make me feel really old, Facebook didn't come into existence until I was in college. So I know, I'm one of those people. I mostly just use Facebook to like post pictures of my kids or my family at this point. But yeah, so like Instagram, TikTok, those are the big things, especially for musicians now. So I use both of those. TikTok is where things have really kicked off for me pretty well. Instagram is slowly catching up. But it's become a great resource. I got on TikTok just before we shut down for the pandemic. Not because of the pandemic, but because a student talked me into it. And I figured I'd try it out. And things just clicked, but then everything, you know, shut down for, COVID and, for musicians, that kind of sucked because we couldn't make live music anymore. Everything just stopped. So we turned to social media. So I started to get connected with musicians and music teachers and composers, performers all over the world, really through TikTok. And we would collaborate and, you know, everything from duetting to everything you can do through a social media kind of platform. We would we put out a couple of arrangements with 200-300 musicians of all levels, just everywhere, people who said, hey, we want to make music. So we would write it up and say, here's your part. Everybody recorded this click track and somebody else would put it all together. And then we'd have our little like TikTok orchestra. So that happened a few times. I know the first one we did was with Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License right after that kind of hit or dropped. So I use it as an avenue to connect to a lot of musicians, but it's a great teaching resource as well. You know, obviously my own students in my classes get the main gist of what I have musically, but for social media, it's a great way to be able to teach different music concepts and cool little grooves from different pieces and stuff to folks that I can't have in class or people who aren't studying music but still want to learn more about music, even if it's not their career or their degree. And so I use it for that. I use it for posting covers. I use it for posting probably a few too many music jokes, dad jokes that are so specific that sometimes they only make sense to like 5 people in the world, I feel like, but I enjoy it. So I am usually the only one laughing at those jokes and that's okay with me.
So, well, speaking of covers, I want to hear one of yours. We've got a little keyboard here in the studio. So in honor of National Piano Day, we're going to have you play something for us. And let me get to
will that pick up the sound?
Yes. Okay.
So I don't know if any of my, I mean, this is going to sound big-headed. I don't know if any of my arrangements would fit on here.
Okay.
Because they're pretty all-inclusive of the full size of the instrument. So, the arrangement that I've made that I enjoy most is one of Toto's Africa. I mean, y'all know, what is it? Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
we're a big fan of the Weezer cover of Africa here.
That cover is good. but I took a different spin on it. So when I made my arrangement, I said, okay, some of the big like main composers of like classical piano stuff is Franz Liszt and Frederick Chopin, Sergei Rachmaninoff, these guys in like the 19th century. And they wrote a lot of music that was fast and loud and usually kind of dark and very emotional. So I said, what if they wrote this instead? So instead of starting with, you know, a good drum beat and then that little, you know, that groove, I actually started with these low, it's lower than this keyboard can go, these daunting, just that. And I would have this like light. Oh, what was it? That. And then, you know, all very dark and mysterious and slowly bring it in. And then eventually, you know, bring in the melody that everybody knows. But the in the original, and I think the Weezer cover does, is they have some, in the original, it's almost a, it's not a steel drum kind of instrumental interlude, but it's something kind of fun like that. I just did a bunch of like runs up and down the piano over and over again, but this is the inner nerd in me coming out. I took one, I just had this cool chord progression that I just thought was kind of epic sounding. Et cetera, et cetera. But we started to have all these runs, you know, just to make it really fancy. But then I ended up having this part where I go up and down the piano really, really fast. But I the beginning of it is follows the same chord progression that Billy Joel uses in the like solo instrumental section of Piano Man. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this is kind of appropriate. I'm a piano player. I should put this in here. Yeah, and so it goes up and down, lots of key changes, and eventually the whole thing comes back to this nice, you know. And that type of an end, right? So just really mellow it out at the end. So it's fun. I can't play the whole thing on here. So if you're bored and want to check it out, it's on YouTube somewhere. But it's fun. I really like that one. There's others. If you're a big BAMA person, have like a Dixieland Delight one on there and things like that, because
Roll Tide,
right? You know, I think I was probably required to make that as an employee of the University of Alabama, but not really.
Well, thank you for playing some music here on Piano Day. Richard, close us out with a good question.
So you said you talk a lot about wellness for musicians. Could you kind of detail that for us? Tell us a little bit more about that and how you get that message out.
Sure,
yeah, just
sure.
Briefly closing it out as we tie up, what are some good thoughts on wellness?
Yeah, so we all get very busy with things, and this goes beyond just music. So because of that, we tend to forget to take care of ourselves, whether that's just mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it might be. So we have a class, we have things we just talk about in terms of tips for, anything from how to easily make food when you're so busy that you have 9 classes each day, you don't get a lunch break. How do you consistently eat? How do you have time to exercise? How do you have time to make money to pay your accompanists who play piano when you literally are taking 18 hours every semester? You're in rehearsal for 4 of those every day, and you have 6 classes every day, and you have no time for a job. So just different things like that we want to do all we can to help the musicians have a better mindset. And just healthier overall, from physical wellness, emotional wellness, social wellness, whereas sometimes we just hang out literally, because we found that if we can get the wellness side of things better, we can learn better, learn faster, and then we can perform better. So it just kind of makes you a better overall musician, which ties into so many different fields. You know, if you take care of yourself, your brain, your body, you do better at what you do. And that's basically, it's a win-win. We just have to sometimes be forced to take those steps to take care of ourselves.
Sounds good. All right. Dr. Woosley, thanks again for being with us. Have a good piano
day. Yeah, thanks, guys.
We'll close out here with a little bit of that Weezer's Africa. We'll be right back here on The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What's the best denomination of money? You got anyone got any $50 bills in here?
I do not.
I'm a big fan of 50. I really like 20s personally.
You like the 20s?
Yeah.
The
20s are good. I like a 2 because of its rarity. You know what I'm saying? It's got a certain something to it, a certain quality to it, because it's so hard to find.
If you were to add another denomination of currency, what number would you add? I feel like a $7 bill would be pretty cool.
$7 bill would be good. Seven. I feel like a $30 bill.
A $30 bill?
30, yeah.
I think that would be pretty nice.
A 7 would be good too.
I feel like a 7 would be nice.
Between 5 and a 10.
Because then, like, if something's like $5, you can just say, here's a 7, give me the change.
Yeah.
Richard, tell us a little bit about what you've had going on with you this week.
Well, as I've told you before, I'm working on a movie. And we just wrapped up production. So it's been going pretty well. We got, it was me and 3 other dudes. We got out. We were just filming all around the dorm, and yeah, we wrapped everything up, and now it's time for editing.
Editing.
We have our intro sequence almost done already.
Okay, so let's go. What's the name of the film?
Philadelphia Chess.
Philadelphia Chess. Okay.
It's about a guy who's terrible at chess. So he goes and he learns a new rule set from like this ancient chess master from Philadelphia for Philadelphia Chess. And it's a really weird sort of game. So it kind of gets kind of surreal. So it's a surreal comedy. And then at the end, he's learned Philly chess. He's a Philly chess master. And he goes and he challenges one of the Philly chess greats who I play. And he, I won't spoil it.
Yeah. Don't spoil it.
It's a pretty wild ending.
Yeah. No. And you have to come see it. And believe it.
Absolutely.
And am I to understand that this is part of like a little film festival, a little mini?
We might be doing a little film festival.
Mayhaps. Yes. Possibly sponsored by the Blunt Scholars Program.
Yes.
With me and Mr. Logan Busby, we'll be showing our films. And
okay.
We have one from Ben Aboshi that I helped produce. But yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's okay. Going to be fun.
So looking forward to that. And you'll have to keep us updated as that is going.
All right.
90.7 The Capstone. This is part of our weekly watch. What have we been watching? What do we want to see? I have been watching. I've seen RRR recently. Natu.
Oh yeah.
So I was happy to see that. And I want to see Succession. The new season 4 has been dropping. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen the episode yet. It came out Sunday. looking forward to watching that. Christian, what have you been watching? What do you want to watch?
As mentioned earlier, I have spent all my movie watching time on the Smokey and the Bandits. Highly recommend it.
I saw the first one with you. That was fun. But apparently fun.
They get wackier. They get wackier throughout.
And what do you want to watch?
I feel like I should get in a Succession after hearing so much about it online. Another thing I need to watch is the new season of The Mandalorian. I haven't started it yet. I need to hit that.
All right, Richard, what have you been watching? What do you want to watch?
I've been watching a lot of The Good Place.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, it's about like the afterlife, and it has like all this philosophical questions in it and stuff. My philosophy professor actually recommended it to me. So, yeah, it's been pretty good. It's funny and gives you a lot to think about.
And what do you want to watch? What's on your docket?
What do I want to watch? Well, more of that show, probably.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
I'm going to go home and like binge watch the next few episodes, I think.
That's the weekly watch here on the Wednesday Morning Show. We'll be back in just a bit, a little after 9, to talk to some folks from the Crimson White, Chance and Bhavna from the Crimson White, and play a little Yellow Journalism. Don't go away. Here's Transistor with Silver Lining on WVUA.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Kikapichi with Rob Supermarket right here on 90.7 WVUA. This is the morning show, the 9 o'clock hour. Guys, can get that 9 o'clock hour cheer? Woo! 9 o'clock. We've got some guests here in the studio, as always. Well, I've got my lovely co-hosts Richard and Christian here to, as support. But we've also got some great guests. We got two guests from the representing the Crimson White. Good morning, Bhavna, editor in chief.
Good morning, Noah.
And then we've got Chance Phillips, a new guest, hasn't never been on the air before, as far as I'm aware.
That is correct.
Oh. Yeah, so there you go. We can hear you nice and well. So you are a writer for the Crimson White.
I am. I'm a contributing columnist for the Opinions Desk.
All right. So you've got some opinions.
I would hope I do.
Okay. So we'll have to hear about some of your opinions and your opinions on our game later. So stay tuned for that. Bhavna, we've got you on the air today because want to hear about this print issue that's coming out tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about the print issue. What can we expect? Is there a theme this time?
There's no theme this time. This is just a regular print edition. It's a good mix of kind of feature stories from each desk, sort of longer form stories that we've been working on over the semester, as well as just recent coverage of stuff that's been going on campus that we thought would be good to see in print as well.
That's great. What are some of these articles that we should check out?
So I'll discuss the stories that are on the cover because they're a pretty good sample. Mm-hmm. We have a story about how Native American students at the University of Alabama are being marginalized by the university, kind of what UA can do better to support them in that regard. So that's one story on the cover. We have a feature on baseball player Colby Shelton, kind of discussing the really cool season that he's had. And then we have a feature about the Black Warrior Film Festival and how that's going in its 10th year now, I believe.
Woo!
Yeah.
So excited to see all about that, read those articles. So Chance, tell us a little bit about, you don't have to give it all away, but to give us a sneak peek on what you have written about for this print issue.
So my piece is pretty much about affordable housing programs in Tuscaloosa. So I actually did some interviews, which I always love doing. So I talked to the executive director of the Tuscaloosa Housing Authority, Mr. Chris Hall, and then I talked to City Councilor Matthew Wilson of District 1, and a lot of the affordable housing programs in Tuscaloosa are focused in District 1 and District 2, so I want to talk to him about sort of his experiences with the programs and like them being the residents being his constituents. And I was just it's an opinion piece. I'm pretty much arguing that we need to, you know, invest more and think more about affordable housing programs, specifically in Tuscaloosa, which I'm sure a lot of you guys know, like, it's one of the poorest cities in Alabama. 24% of people who live in Tuscaloosa are underneath the poverty line.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of good work here in the Crimson White in this print edition that's coming out in yesterday. Where can we find this for the print copies?
The usual spots. You can find them. We'll be passing them out at the Student Center Plaza. Plaza. They'll be on newsstands all over campus, per usual. And of course, you can always read the stories online as well.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, we'll be back in just a minute. We talked about the Crimson White news, and we're going to be back in a minute to talk about some other news in the news. We're going to play America's favorite game show, Yellow Journalism. So don't go away. We're going to have a head-to-head competition to see who gets Reporter of the Week, the Year, the Century. Who knows? We'll find out. We'll be right back here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
It's 90.7 The Capstone. It's the morning show.
Woo! Welcome back to the morning show here on 90.7 The Capstone. We have got Bhavna and Chance from the Crimson White here in the studio with us today. And we're going to play America's favorite game show, Yellow Journalism! Woo! All right, so you may have heard the rules before, but I'll go over them again. It's two truths and a lie. We've got three rounds. In each round, there will be three headlines. Two of them are real, and one of them is fake. See if you can use your reporter sensibilities to sniff out the fake headline. If you guess it correctly, you get a point. Whoever has the most points at the end of the three rounds wins. So Bhavna and Chance, because we've got two of you in here, we're going to be putting you head-to-head. You have a lifeline, one lifeline each, that you can ask a question to ask to know a little bit more about one of the headlines. And we have read the real ones, and we know about the fake ones. So we will answer whichever happens. Okay, so Richard, get on up here and ask. Is going to run round one.
All right, round one. Here's headline number one. Greenland stays in daylight savings time forever. Here's number two. Humans will achieve immortality in 8 years. And here's number three. Citizens in Philadelphia are calling for fewer street signs. Which one of those is the fake headline?
Ooh, this is kind of tough because I know reporters, no offense, really like making big headlines out of scientific articles. I know the first one sounds very reasonable. I know a lot of states or a couple states do that. Can I have some more information about the third headline?
Yes. So citizens in Philadelphia are calling for fewer street signs. This article is about a group in Philadelphia. When you hear fewer street signs, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, they're asking for fewer street signs and more street lights. There are a lot of stop signs about, but they're like, we want some of those like changing lights to make the streets safer. Mm-hmm. Chance has used his lifeline, and Bhavna, you will still have yours as we go forward in the game. At this point, what are you guys thinking about which headline is the fake one?
I'm still leaning to the third one, even after that, you know, explanation of what it is. It doesn't seem like traffic lights are that much different from, you know, stop signs, so. And the other two seem like actual headlines.
All right, so Chance is leaning toward three. What do you think, Bhavna?
I'm also going to go with the third one. I agree with his reasoning.
Okay, all right. So the incorrect headline is, in fact, number three. So citizens in Philadelphia are calling for fewer street signs. That is the fake headline. All right, Christian's going to do round two.
Okay. Well, congratulations, you two. You've officially tied the record for yellow journalism that you previously set. So... second round, round two, number one. Elephant in the dining room. Startup makes mammoth meatball. Number two, staplers are the newest weapon of choice in Missouri schools. And number three, police divers discover body reported in canal was a mannequin.
So those are three headlines.
Where is the mammoth meatball startup?
I think Christian knows a little bit more about that one. Christian, tell us a little bit about that article that you've got going on.
So the Mammoth Meatball Startup comes from Australia. Oh, yeah, whoops. Yeah, I know. Microphone kind of important. So the Mammoth Meatball Startup, it's an Australian company.
So, yes, that is the answer to that question. All right, what are you guys thinking? What's the fake one?
Well, I know that we've been trying to bring back the mammoth for few years now. I think I read an article about like National Geographic, but I don't think we've been successful like getting DNA samples. And also, like, as a vegetarian, I know a lot about the meat, but like it just still doesn't go together. I think it's because the synthetic meats have been in the news recently. I think that's what inspired you to create that fake headline. I'm going with number one.
Okay, number one, fake headline. What do you think, Bhavna?
I'm not certain mammoths were in Australia based on my limited knowledge of history. So I don't know. I'm trying to think through the logistics of how they would have gotten the meat. But
so you got mammoth meatball, staplers, yeah. Weapon of choice, and police discover a body in canal was a mannequin. Which one are you going to go with, the fake one?
It feels like the first one, I got to say.
You're going to go with the first one as the fake one? Christian, let him know.
Y'all are incorrect. So amazingly, I heard this headline watching, I think it's PTI, you know, with Tony Kornheiser on ESPN. They were talking about it yesterday. And I was like, that's perfect for yellow journalism. Nobody will get that.
So the fake one is actually staplers are the newest weapon of choice in Missouri schools. But honestly,
That sounds pretty reasonable for Missouri, I gotta say.
I mean, so still tied 1-1 after round two. Going into round three, no lifelines, and you guys have to guess different answers.
Okay.
And so different answers, and Chance, since you guessed first in the last round, Bob, no, you'll guess first in this round.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Fashion show ends in fire after electric outfits burst into flames. Supreme Court chews on Jack Daniel's dog toy dispute. Al swoops into courtroom, sends magistrate running out screaming. So, Bobna, which one are you thinking is the fake one? We got a fashion show ending in a fire, Supreme Court having a Jack Daniel's dog toy dispute, and another courtroom, and Al comes in and sends the magistrate out screaming.
No questions, okay.
No questions, just intuition.
Intuition. I'm gonna go with the first one.
Fashion show. All right.
Yeah.
Chance, what are you thinking?
So I know that the Jack Daniel's dog toy thing is a real story. I don't know if it made it to the Supreme Court necessarily, but just because I know that part of that is real, I'm gonna go with the third one.
Third one. Al swoops into the courtroom.
Yep.
All right. That's a good guess, but Bobna, you got it. The fashion show ending in a electronic outfits bursting into flames is the fake one. That is just one that we made up. So Bobna, you now have the new record for yellow journalism, 2 out of 3. So you are reporter of the week. But you know what, Chance? I think we'll let you be in the picture too for the reporter of the week. I think this will be quite good. So thank you both for playing yellow journalism here on 90.7 The Capstone. Give them a round of applause, guys. Woo! All right, Chance, I know you didn't get the win. How do you feel about your performance?
Well, personally, I feel like it was rigged against me from the start, and I think you guys should have, you know, picked some better headlines. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Some good opinions there from Chance Phillips. check out Chance's article in the print edition of The Crimson White coming out tomorrow. We can see that on newsstands, and it will be online as well at thecrimsonwhite.com. Thanks again, guys, and we might have to see you again soon. Have a good day, and we'll be right back here. But before we close out, we wanted to celebrate with you guys. I am a very special day that it is. Everyone, look at the calendar. Look at the calendar. What day is it? I think it happens to be Weezer Wednesday. It's Weezer Wednesday right here on 90.7 The Capstone. And Bobna has requested the Weezer song, Island in the Sun. So, Bobna, thank you for this selection. We've got last week we did not have it in the system. We do now. We've got the whole green album. So here we go. Weezer Wednesday right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
It's time to get a little bit of some insight on what's going on around here. It's time for the weather report, weather report, weather report, weather report. Do not distort the weather report, weather report, weather report. All right, going on here in the weather today. It's been warming up here in Tuscaloosa. It was a little colder earlier, but we are on the rise up to about 67, 69 highs here today. It's going to be a little cloudy, a little overcast, but no rain at all. But it's a little windy. It's super windy right now, about 8 miles per hour. So watch out if you're going anywhere. Stay tuned. Weather report. Weather report. Weather report, weather report, weather report, weather report. All right, but you know, whether the weather is good or bad, we've always got something to make you glad. And Richard's got a little positive news story for us.
I sure do. So, researchers have developed a glow scope that turns a smartphone into a sensitive microscope.
And this sensitive microscope normally costs $100,000. So it's a little attachment you can put on top of your phone, clip it on there, and you can do the things that this microscope does that usually cost $100,000. You need like technicians. It's huge and bulky, but not now. All you need is your phone. And it's great for like laboratories and stuff. And also because it's mobile, you can take it out in the field if you need to. So
now that's really neat. And I
big
can also,
stuff for science.
I can also see good applications there, like if like students or something were wanting to use that, whether they're like in middle school or high school or even college or whatever, using that gear right on your phone.
Apparently, I think it said it was like $1.75 to manufacture.
That's crazy. So. To go from $100,000 to $1.75.
Yeah.
That's intense. That's intense. But we'd love to see it. Positive news story, scientific developments right here on 90.7 The Capstone. We'll be right back with the something that me and Richard are a little excited about. Our boy WA, you might say. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Santa Gold here on The Morning Show. This is 90.7 The Capstone. Me and Richard like to sort of browse the internet here and there. We were looking at some of those I don't know if you've seen this movie, The Whale. I don't know if anyone else has, but you've surely seen that one frame of Brendan Fraser.
It's always the same frame in like every single like news story on the internet. It's just the one picture, you know, where he's kind of just looking like
he's just like
he's making that face, you know.
Yeah, he's making that face, which you can see over the radio, I'm sure. But but apart from that, though, which we were also excited to see me and Richard off air. We're talking about our boy Wes Anderson. Our boy W.A., he's got this new movie coming out. I feel like with every single movie, he's like, how many people can I put in this movie? And then his new movie, Asteroid City.
The cast is insane. So I'm just looking at the poster here.
Yeah, tell us just a few of those names.
Yeah, so we got Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Tilda Swinton, Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Adrian Brody, Liev Schreiber, Hope Davis, Stephen Park, Rupert Friend, Maya Hawke, Steve Carell, Matt Dillon, Hong Chow, Willem Dafoe, Margot Robbie, Tony Revolori, Jake Ryan, and Jeff Goldblum.
Woo!
Star-studded.
So, including Hong Chow from The Whale, Brendan Fraser, right? Oh, yeah. Me and Richard just watched the trailer for Asteroid City.
21 stars on the poster right there.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. What was your opinion after seeing the trailer?
Well, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Wes Anderson, so I was kind of taken aback by, you know, like the way he shoots. Like he usually has that line down the middle.
He's
like
got very very split, symmetrical
with the surreal sets with the bright colors and stuff. So I was kind of taken aback by that because I haven't seen a lot of Wes Anderson stuff, but it seems cool.
Yeah. So I mean, it's coming out sometime this year. I don't know what's it says in theaters June 16th. So it'll coming out this summer, Asteroid City. It looks like it's a sort of based, it's a Western, but there's space involved. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those space Western stuff going on.
Cowboys and aliens.
So we'll have to see how it turns out. And who knows, you might see me and Richard in this movie as well. So stay tuned for that. So Asteroid City, Wes Anderson, new Wes Anderson movie. I'm also excited. So I was looking up just like new movies to be aware of. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard of Roald Dahl.
Oh yeah.
So Wes Anderson did Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Fantastic movie.
Amazing movie. I feel it's one of those Wes Anderson movies just like everyone can agree is just like a good movie. Mm-hmm. But I was excited to see that he is directing an adaptation of the wonderful story of Henry Sugar, which I don't know if you've ever heard this story. It's a more obscure Roald Dahl story. But I remember growing up at the library, because it comes from The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar and Six More is the name of the book. And it's got like seven short stories in it, including The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And so it's about a guy who learns how to what would you call it? Like see through things or whatever. Like, ooh. Like he basically learns like how to develop mentally, like develop like X-ray eyes. And he starts using that to like learn how to gamble and everything, but, and make some money. But, so that is the story. And Wes Anderson is adapting that. So there hasn't been too much talked about that or anything. That's cool. It may not even come out this year. It may be next year or something, but I was just excited to see that in that, that was happening. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, he killed it with Mr. Fox.
I know. So I'm excited to, for like an obscure story like that, I'm very interested to see like his take on it. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So that's some Wes Anderson news. We'll keep you posted as if anything else comes up. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Going to play you some more music. And then we'll be back to talk to you and close out our show. We've been having a good morning and we want to do some more with you. So don't go away.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
One of our favorite songs here on the Wednesday Morning Show, Sacatela, here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're about to end out our time here, but in honor of Mermaid Day, we're going to go under the sea. We're down under the bottom of the sea. Have you ever gone too deep into the sea? You ever gone out to sea, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I used to live by the beach. I lived in Virginia Beach for 13 years, so yeah.
And
I love going to the beach.
Have you been surfing?
Yeah.
Okay. I have never...
I have been out too deep, that's for sure.
How deep is too deep?
You know, if it's like 10 feet deep at that point, you should probably start heading in.
Have you ever seen a shark?
I've not seen a shark. I have seen dolphins, though. A dolphin did run into me one time.
If you were a mermaid, what sea would you live in?
What sea?
Would you live in the Atlantic Ocean? The Pacific Ocean? I feel like I'd want to live in the Mediterranean Sea.
Mediterranean would be cool. I probably want to live in the Gulf somewhere because it's warm.
Okay, so would you live in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, but probably like, you know, a little bit closer to the Atlantic Ocean area.
Okay.
I want it to be warm, but, you know, I also want to get some waves. So
yeah.
Probably like maybe out by Puerto Rico or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so if we ever become mermaids, that's where you'll find us. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep you updated if we suddenly sprout tails and fins and things. This has been the Wednesday Morning Show here on 90.7 The Capstone with Richard, Christian, and Noah. We'll see you next week. Have a good morning, everyone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.